Ro sola sola re 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 sa re ro. Oya ope no ye o baba olore iye ogo ye o olore oma osa. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you are glad. I am happy that I have witnessed this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. All the glory and the thanks be to God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome to church. This morning, we'll examine pride. 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 P-R-I-D-E. We'll examine pride. Proverbs chapter 13. Hold on. Okay, sorry. We start with James chapter 3. He has developed a mind of his own. James chapter 3, and I read from verse 16. He says, James 3, verse 16. He says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Amen. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Hallelujah. So that you know that the origin of every evil thing, okay, is from self-seeking and envy. Hallelujah. So, you look at things around and we see there's so much evil, and you begin to trace it, what the Bible is saying is that when you trace it to envy and self-seeking. And in self-seeking is self-centeredness. Me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. And everything that has to be about everything has to be about you. Amen. Hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advice is wisdom. So James 3:16 says that envy and self-seeking brings about nothing but evil works and confusion. So no matter how much we pray, there should not be evil. Hallelujah. If we do not deal with the origin of evil, evil works, then we are not going to get any result. Hallelujah. So oftentimes, a lot of people are self-centered. In fact, that's just what reigns. So once you are fine within your own domain, every other thing you do is about yourself. It's going to cause strife. It's going to cause envy. Okay? Because if you see anybody do better than you are doing, you are not going to be happy about it. Because you are not looking out for the good of the other person. Amen. And the Bible says it brings about confusion and every evil work. It didn't say evil work. It says every evil work. If you are alarmed at the rate at which there is so much pain in the land and so much evil work, you will trace it and you will not miss it. That is about being selfish, being self-centered, and only caring about yourself and yourself alone. Hallelujah. And in Proverbs 13, verse 10, it says that by pride comes nothing but strife. Hallelujah. Amen. By pride comes nothing but strife. Proverbs chapter 17. It says the beginning, in verse 10, verse 14, it says the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Amen. So, first we talked about envy and self-seeking that brings about evil work. And then we say that strife is the origin of pride. Okay? And now it's telling us how strife is. It says the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Hallelujah. So when you release water, it does not come in one gush. Even if you look at, you know, some people start arguing now that if you have a big pipe, and you are going to open that valve, that valve does not open in one swing, okay? Except they have made more modern valves. It does not open in one swing. You have to turn and turn and turn until you finally release all the valve. So as you turn, it begins to trickle out. That's what happens. So it says strife, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Hallelujah. Which means that you can avoid contention. Which means that you can avoid strife. Hallelujah. And it also means that pride is avoidable. Amen. If you pray from now till tomorrow and you do not put in efforts, then you will not get any result. Hallelujah. Pride is the only thing that causes strife. As I was saying before, so if I'm speaking with you or we're having a conversation, and we're having a tussle, I'm going to be speaking, and I'm beginning to speak in the light of who I think I am and who I think is speaking with me. It's going to cause problem because I'll be speaking from a point of pride. Okay? So, assuming I'm speaking with somebody my son's age, and he's speaking to me, and I'm looking at it, and this guy be talking to me like this. I'm the father of somebody as old as he is. Okay? Number one is pride. Forget about respect. Number one is pride. Sometimes we cannot take questions from this generation, this Gen Z generation. We can't take questions from them. Because when they begin to ask you questions, you begin to wonder, I dare not ask my father this kind of question. That's what we begin to wonder. But if you pause and you think and you listen to the questions they're asking you, they are valid questions. So you tell the child not to do something. And he says, is there a reason why I should not do it? The first thing you are going to say is it me you are talking to? Hallelujah. But if you look at it in hindsight, the boy is right. Whoever is asking is right. Is there a reason why I should not be doing what I'm doing? Oftentimes, it is important that you give people reason for giving them an instruction. Hallelujah. God didn't just come down with the commandments and say, guys, follow these commandments. He made them to understand who he is and who he was. Okay. And the reason why each of these commandments we followed. Even Christ did likewise. Amen. But in the place of pride, you're going to be saying, why are you talking to me like that? Okay? Maybe that example of somebody as young as my son's is too far. If you are age mates and you're talking, pride is going to make you, if you feel that you are in a better class, in quote, than the person, pride is going to make, is going to cause you to answer based on what you think you are. And like I said in the morning, you are meant to answer questions based on the word of God on the inside of you. When the pressures of life come, it is what is on the inside of you that will come out. Hallelujah. And nothing else defines a man except the thing that comes out of him. Amen. Hallelujah. When we begin to respond to life issues, when we begin to respond to life issues based on how we perceive things, but based on how God perceives things, we will eliminate pride. Hallelujah. We will eliminate arrogance. Amen. So, you know, sometimes we go to occasions and people will tell you, please don't sit there, sit here. And then you begin to, maybe because the person that is hosting the occasion is your senior brother. You say, don't you know I'm the brother of the person that is, how will the usher know who you are? Amen. Hallelujah. So when I was growing up, there was this man that was invited to a wedding. And when he was coming for the wedding, of course, people, you know the way people are, they would dress up. And then he took out the best of his chains. The chain will reach up to his belly button. And so in his mind, he has dressed up, and anybody that sees him should be able to give him that respect and accolade. So when he stepped into the hall, and then they put him at the back seat, the guy was very angry. That's arrogance. He was very angry. He said, why would you put me here? Can't you see the way I am dressed? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. If you humble yourself before the Lord, he will honor you. We cannot gain anything from pride except strife. And where there is strife, there will be all manner of evil works. Hallelujah. Does that mean that, I've seen it play out everywhere. I mean, in recent time, I just see it play out. And everybody's tussling. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I am this, I am that? We are nothing except God, what God has called us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 11. And verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Amen. Pride is self-centered. And it's always thinking about how you are perceived. Amen. It's self-centered. It's always about you. Okay? From the beginning to the end. Nothing in pride looks about the other person. Except in comparison to your perception of yourself. Amen. While I was working in, when we were growing up, where I grew up, the school I went to, we're always forming. I don't know another word for forming. We're always forming. That's how we grew up. How do you say forming again? Help me now. I'm used to forming. I don't know if it's right English or not. But I grew up. I went to school that you have to form. If you don't form, you don't belong. So when we step into school, the fact that you are in this school alone is not for you to form. I'm shaking my head. So when we come out of school and then we see other children on the road, those children look at us and are like, ah. They almost bow, you know. But they didn't like it that this set of children look very different. And we're very different. And I think we are still very different, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Even in the fact that we were going to that kind of school, within, there was also that class. So not everybody will belong to the class. So generally, the covering of the kind of school we went to made everybody look like we are proud. Okay? Then within, there were now different sets of children. You have to now find your own class. I was coming from, how do you call it? I was coming from the very, very base of the strata. So I don't do more than, I can't do more than the little that we do in my house. So when I started working, and then of course I grew up in one of the choice areas where I grew up. And then when I started working, I was working with my boss, and he will ask me to do things that this generation will consider as demeaning. He will send me around, we'll carry boxes. They were heavy as these two. We'll carry them. I was serving, number one, BSc holder, number two, Abby. And then if I sit down and look and say, I am coming from this background, number three, and then I live in this part of the city, number four, there was enough reason for me not to be carrying boxes. Sometimes when you tell some people to do something, they say, ah, me. Why? How? So one day, I was working, and I would do everything. I was very happy with it. I didn't bother myself with those. I wasn't brought up that way. I wasn't even brought up to understand that class is where I belong to, in that kind of school. Then one day, I was working, and then my boss called me, and he asked, he said, we were just gisting, and then he said, who is your father? And I told him my father's name. And he said, if I'm right, if he's correct, your father you guys live so, 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 and so place? I said, yes. And you guys probably would have gone to so, so, and so school. I said, yes. He said, you don't look like them. He said, you don't look like, because the people that grew up in that place, we assume they are spoiled children, blah, 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 but you are different. The only reason they will take them as spoiled is because they think that they are proud. Amen. And we were two that were serving. Two of us were serving. So each time the man calls the two of us, the other guy was always going to say, no, I cannot do that. I'm a copper. And when he looks at me, when he says, tells the two of us, he will tell us on two different occasions. We are not together anytime he asks us to do it. So he calls me and says, Miwa, do this. I say, fine. And then he calls the other person. The guy says, I'm a copper. I can't do it. Amen. So one of these days, the man said, he called us separately and said, I want to retain you guys. So he told me, I want to retain you guys. And he said, this is what I'll be paying you. He said, you can think about it. And then he called the other guy and said the same thing to the other guy. And the guy told him and said, so the guy called me and said, have you given him a response? I said, I gave him my response on the spot. He said, no. The man wants to be cheating us. How can he want to pay us that? Blah, blah, blah. I smiled. I told him, I said, do you have an alternative? Do you have an alternative to this that we are doing? The guy said, no, blah, blah. Okay, no problem. So I picked up the work and I started doing. And when I signed up for the job, he created for me another office that he has never done before. And he said, you'll be in charge of this. Now, the other guy came back about 5 or 6 weeks later, and the man said, the door is closed. So he went to one of the customers of our boss that he wants to work for him. The customer came to my boss and said, should I employ this guy? And the man said, if you employ him, he's going to scatter your business. Why? Because of the perceived pride and arrogance. You have to be humble in everything that you are doing. And you have to drop me, myself, and I. When you drop me, myself, and I will happen to you automatically. So when, and you know, in Bible school this morning, I told you about where I was working, that then the man kept calling me. It was with this same boss that I said, okay, I'll work for you. Because I didn't know where I was going. My father just passed away. I was living with the widow, and I had to take care of a widow. So why would I drop the little coin that I will get and say I'm waiting to come and get a big one? On the way to where you are going, be happy. Hallelujah. On the way to where you are going, be happy. You know, some people say, I can't take that job. Will I lie? Well, if God says you should not take it, don't take it. But for me, God did not tell me not to take it. And I did not pray that should I take it. All I asked God for was that, how am I going to start looking for a job from this point? And then the man came and said, I offer you a job. And in the space of 1 year of taking that job, he himself was the one that recommended and said, you can take this boy and take him. Hallelujah. He says, anything and anything you ask him to do, he will do it. Because of I was not self-centered. Things necessarily do not have to be convenient, and they don't have to be about you. Once you drop those things about me, myself, and I, pride will be far away from you. Amen. And you will not get into strife. Look at what 1 John 2:16 says. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. When God speaks about you, you have to live based on what God has spoken about you. Humility is not living below the bar. Hallelujah. Humility is doing and living exactly the way God has called you. You know, some people, we say they are humble and they will never do the things that God has spoken about them. Some will say they are born again, they are overcomers, and they will speak and think of themselves more highly than they should. The two of them are not godly. Hallelujah. So it's just like when you say low aim is a crime. If you have the capacity to do something, and this is the capacity in which God has called you, and it's that capacity you are supposed to function. Not lower, not above. Amen. And if we understand that all that we do John 3:27. If we understand this, then we will be liberated forever. It says in John 3:27, it says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Hallelujah. Unless it has been given to him from heaven. In Romans 12:3, the Bible says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each man, each one, a measure of faith. You should not think highly, more of yourself highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Amen. If you stay within the confines of these two scriptures, you'll be far away from displaying pride. Number one, you don't think of yourself more highly than you should. And in thinking of yourself more highly than you should remember what will bring you back to that point is the fact that nobody receives anything except it has been given to him by God. So if you happen to help somebody today and help somebody tomorrow and help again and again, you should not think that you are better than that person. Hallelujah. So that when the person is coming, you are not being like, hey, he's coming again. And hey, why are you coming to me again? No. If you cannot receive anything except it is given to you by God. Hallelujah. And when God gives you, he gives you for the purpose of others. Amen. So if you begin to think that it's because I have money, that's why they are coming to me. One day, somebody that does not have money will suddenly have money and nobody will come to you again. Because it's pride. Yeah, it's because I have money. That's why they're asking that they want to do something. You know, it happens in the family, right? So people say they say they bankroll the family. Hallelujah. There's no problem if you bankroll the family. That's the position that God has placed you. And you should do it joyfully, without any selfishness attached to it. When you keep complaining again and again, hallelujah, it will be a problem. So when you see things in light of what God has called you, number one, you cannot receive anything except by God, hallelujah, then we are fine. Amen. So let's be conscious that by pride comes nothing but strife. Because the other person will see it as an insult, will not be able to accept it. Even the other person seeing it as an insult is also prideful. Amen. And that's when pride and pride meet, is going to result into strife. And we have to be very conscious of it. Prayer does not take away pride. Hallelujah. If you pray from now to you, it will not take it away. Except you imbibe the God word. And you abide, and you decide to abide to live by it. Amen. There will be pressures, but whatever comes out of you at that point when the pressure comes is what will make or mar you. Amen. But strife is not of God. What is of God is to live a love life. Self-centeredness will bring nothing but pride, and pride will bring nothing but strife. Amen. Let's rise up to our feet this morning. Bible says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you see yourself in the light of this scripture, then you will live a life that is full of God. Remember, we read this morning that God is everywhere. And until you open up your receiver to receive from him, you will not perceive him. We also read this morning that living unrighteously is not the God way of life. And pride definitely is not the God way. Amen. Let's talk to him this morning. That indeed as we walk after the word of God, that when we are able to shun pride and we are able to avert evil, because his Bible says that pride comes nothing but strife. And thank him for wisdom, that will be well advised in wisdom and living the God life. Give him all the praise this morning. Thank him for his word. Even as short as it is, thank him because it's the quality of the word that matters. It says the seed will fall on ground, and indeed it will germinate and grow and bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name.